Greetings, everybody, saints. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here this morning to share the God's words. And we enter the gate with thanksgiving, enter the court with praise. And we assemble here to worship God face to face. I have the privilege to share the word of God, and my goal this morning is that after the message, your relationship with me personally, among yourselves in the assembly, and with your God are much closer, bonded in love. But I have some questions to ask first. Okay, by showing of hands, respond. Okay, have you heard God is love? Oh, everybody. Okay, great. Christian fellowship. Less hands. Promise of eternal life, I'm sure. Huh? Okay, everybody. We are children of God. Some. Overcomers in Christ. Very good. Well, very good response. These five topics are the main topics of the first epistle of John. Okay, so we just went over the first epistle of John. Today we are covering second and third epistle of John. Last weekend while we were in Jakarta, Brother Jonathan Lim spoke to me on the phone, said, what are you doing? I said, well, my wife is doing last minute shopping somewhere, and I am stuck in the hotel room preparing for the message coming Sunday in CC Singapore. He said, oh, that's easy. Don't sweat it. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you freely. Well, I wish that was the case, but I'm not taking his advice today. Instead, I'll do something better. I will quote some scriptures. And then I throw them into the air and let the Spirit of the Lord settles in your heart, whatever you need. And this is what I want to do. Some scriptures. Listen. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. 1 John 2:20. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. The Spirit of life opens up in the souls of believers, a fountain of spiritual life. John 7:38-39. In Genesis, circumcision was in flesh, while in Romans, it was in the heart and the spirit of believers. The Old Testament talk about the fear of God, in the New, lover of God. Old Testament guaranteed the land of Canaan. Gospel guarantees life beyond the grave. In John 4:14, by the Jacob's well, Jesus said, indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water well up to eternal life. Moses' law prohibited covetousness. Gospel requires us to do good unto all men according to opportunities. Galatians 6:10. And love our neighbors as ourselves. Romans 13:10. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we pray that today as we sit face to face with you in this sanctuary, we may through our ears hear your own voice. In our head, please give us the understanding of your instructions, of your commandments. And deep in our hearts, Lord, plant your words, the living word, that will last till eternity. and be with us because you love us. We know that for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to the text, 2 John. The topic today, of course, love in truth. Now, it's not often we come across this term, love in truth. We hear love, we hear truth. But what is love in truth? Shall we read together 2 Epistle of John, verse 1 and 3, together? To the chosen lady, are we reading together? Okay, good. It is louder. I want to hear your voice. And her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Just like the lady recipient of this letter, we too, remember that, are chosen and are loved by God. We are not sitting here because we are smart. We have come to God on our own accord. God has chosen us and placed us here. The relationship of this is everlasting forever. Because why? Of the truth. And the truth is in us. And we see in these short three verses, truth mentioned several times. Interestingly, you know, we remember John as a disciple of love. But today, you will see as we go on, he is also the disciple of truth. In fact, I counted in these two epistles, love is mentioned 11 times, as many times as the truth. That's a very interesting comparison here. So our beloved disciple, John, is also a disciple of truth. What is truth? Share with me, what do you understand the meaning of truth? Can someone volunteer? What is truth? Of course, we can think of a simple terms. The Word of God is truth. The living Word, Jesus Christ Himself, right? The great I Am. Just some of the simple definitions to start. Let's go on to verse 4 to 6, and shall we also read together? He has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one who have been from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As we have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. You see, here the command mentioned two times. The first one is that, you know, we understand we are supposed to love one another. We all know that, okay? But the second part is we have to walk, you know, walk in action, in our actual behavior. So this is love. We are reminded again, we have to walk in love. Now in verse 5, I did some search, okay, about this word. Here says, in verse 5, in the AMP, American Amplified Version, it says we are reminded. So John reminds us to love. To love unselfishly and to seek the best for others. So we got to practice that in our fellowship time. Okay? That we got to seek the good of the other person. We have to lift up the other person. We have to, in our conversations, to bring out the best from the other person. So in other words, we cannot be self-centered. It's all about me. Come to listen to my stories, my worries, my trouble, my success. No, we have to actively listen to the other person. So later I'm going to talk about the three H. I coin a special term. Now in NIV version, it says ask. In New King James version, it says pleading or even begging. John is begging us, pleading with us. In the Chinese version, it says persuading, quan. The Chinese word used here is not the same level, say, hey, I persuade you. You know, John is, in the Chinese version, says, is someone like your grandfather trying to persuade you from up to down, persuading. So all these words are different, and sometimes you wonder, why are there so many different translations or versions? Well, I have an answer for you in that one, because we have different needs. So through these translations, which may be different, that you grab onto something that fit your need, and that will be the God's word for you. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34 and 35, you are to love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples. Praise the Lord. And it was a love journey. After nearly 45 years, you know, I shared with Pastor Dan and Evelyn that 2 weeks ago, my mother-in-law came to Christ. Oh, that could be the single most important task in my life. Because you know why? Not because she is the mother of my wife, okay? That of course was important. But you know, after I entered into her house so many years ago, from day one, she loved me. And of course, I tried to do my best to love her back. But I tell you, without helping her to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing I have done all these years in return for her love is sufficient in my mind. So I praise the Lord. And I want to say that all those who have faithfully prayed for her salvation will equally share the reward. Verse 7 and to 11, I shall read myself. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world, and such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Here we learn something new and something important. This word, doctrine of Christ. What is doctrine of Christ? It sounds great, but here it has a simple definition. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, died on the cross, and rose on the third day, all in a bodily form. And likewise, we all believers, we have this promise, one day, we shall have a bodily resurrection. Antichrist here mentioned, and I spoke to Brian Brotherson, the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa recently, and he said in his term, Antichrist is another Christ. Not a true Christ, another Christ. And who throughout the ages claims, many claims either Christ has not a physical body, or only the body was on the cross, but only his body, his spirit parted long time before that, or simply and flatly denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, you know, I read a book that talking about the Quran. In this part of the world, there are many Muslims, and it could be an interesting point to engage them in certain conversations when the opportunity is upon you. We have this, today I'm talking about opportunities. We got to look for opportunities. You know, for the first years of my life in Singapore, I was a young and a rising engineer, and I was seeking opportunities. In the early 70s, when Singapore was being opening up for industrialization, oh, I look for opportunities, you know, in business, in engineering. And I started three businesses in Singapore, okay? But in the last years of my life, and I praise the Lord, I began to seek opportunities to win souls. And, you know, there are many opportunities, but we got to open our eyes for these opportunities. The Bible talks about opportunities. Now, in Quran, there is a statement. Muhammad was an uneducated man. You know, he was just talking, and his students will write down what he was talking. And one of the things he said, those days many people were unschooled. So he said to his students, if you don't understand what I'm talking, right, go to ask a Christian brother. That's what he said. How interesting. So I sometimes talk to Muslims. I say, well, if you recognize Jesus as one of your main prophets, did you ever read what he said? No. Right? See? So here, clearly says in the Bible, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's very important. But Antichrist would deny that. John, the precious disciple of love, is seen here to be very clear about standing firm on truth. His love is built on truth. And we should learn from him to speak with clarity and authority about truth matters. For example, not to worship idols. We all know that. I know that for many years. But you know, with a fresh reminders from Pastor John teaching in the recent months, and I put that to practice. Knowing is one thing, but you have to walk on it to practice that. So I practiced this several occasions. And 3 weeks ago, we were in Taipei, Taiwan. I had a wonderful family reunion with a very close friend of mine. We were in the research together many years ago. So we had a wonderful dinner. He treated us, you know, with all the big family after dinner. And when we say goodbye and thank you, all that. And I went to the elderly mother of my friend, professor friend. And I remember suddenly I have this confidence. And I went to this old lady, you know, in the 80s, hold on to her shoulders. I say, if you are a Christian, do not worship idols. Because in her house, I saw, you know, some of these Chinese characters with, you know, pictures like that. And obviously, she, you know, worshiped idols in her home. And when I spoke to her, confidently and forcefully in love, not loudly, but in love. And she was answering me with eyes looking at me. She said, yes, 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 3 times. And I am sure she was very sincere. Put into practice, not what you have learned, what you have believed. Do it. You know, I coined a 3H phrase, 3H, here, okay, head, heart, 3H, When we're in fellowship, we are in conversations, actively hear what the other person is talking. And let the praises and acknowledgement go into his head, into his head. And then you find yourself in the deeper communion with the person in his heart. Three steps. Active hearing what this person is talking about. Pay attention. Remember, it helps to think that person you're talking to is as important as you are. So do not be self-centered. Listen to that person and listen to his stories, his concern, his problems. And then you praise, acknowledge the good things of the, acknowledge that person's value. And that praise will go into his head. And soon you'll find yourself in his heart. And that's when, where you can plant the seeds of the gospel that leads to salvation. If you are not there in his heart, anything you say, you will just go over his head. You will not stay. So try that. I've tried that in many, many places. In China, you know, in Singapore, anywhere. I tried that with great success. 3 months ago, we had a lunch in Singapore with my wife's younger sister. After the meal, with laughters, with tears, with stories of the ancient past. And I spoke very sincerely and lovingly that when, so I said to her, when the next time you go to remember your father, do not bow down to worship idols. Do not burn the incense. Do not do that. And she agreed. I said, I put to practice. Do not worship idols. And she said yes. And she was sincere. How do I know she was sincere? Because on that day, she accepted the Lord. She made an acceptance prayer. And accepted Jesus Christ as a personal savior. And I believe again, all those who have prayed for her faithfully over the years will receive full and a perfect reward. Verse 12 and 13. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. When we walk in the path that God has prepared for us, and we surely will enjoy peace, love, and joy, because he is always near, as promise of God. Not a joy that we have in this world or from this world, which is very temporary. But the joy with the Lord is deep within, and also always. You know, you remember in the Bible, those saints were imprisoned and they still can sing because they have the joy everlasting. And I want to read from Acts 2:28. I think we can read when we go to the next screen. The scripture reading we can read together. Shall we read this together? You have made known to me the ways of life. You made me full of joy in your presence. This is one of the two verses I read to the luncheon party I attended my father's business in Singapore for 50 years, and I had the pleasure of reading scriptures to many of those people who are unchurched. Shall we go to the second, the next epistle? The third John. And I will invite all to read together from verse 1 through 8. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, when I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faith in the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have to know joy, great joy then to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may walk together for the truth. You know, we see several things here. We see partnership. You know, you need partners to do the ministry. And the partners are sent by God. So we got to be sensitive. Who are our partners? Who God has sent to be our partner? Because God has assigned not only angels, invisible ones, to help you, but God sent physical bodies to help you to be in partnership to serve God. And we can see the love the Apostle John has for this man. And this man could be a convert. And yet, we can see John treats this convert with such respect in a very loving manner. John calls him beloved. You know, God calls us the same way. In God's eyes, no matter your achievement in this world, your income, your positions, your years serving the Lord, in God's eyes, everyone here is precious and He loves you. You know, it's so important not to be denied of this truth, that you are a special person in God's eyes. God loves all of us, individually, collectively. John uses the word truth 5 times here. And John was very encouraged by this man's walk in faith, in action. And John wants to use this name story to encourage all of us. So it is good to be an encourager. I think we can do more of that. You know, I don't want to sound critical, but I find in comparison, Asian societies do less of encouragement, you know, compared to the Western societies. You know, we are tend to be very strict. You know, we keep the praises deep in our hearts or in our pockets. I think we got to do as body of Christ to encourage each other much more and to speak out, to speak up in words, to acknowledge the good things happening. We got to do that. We got to give testimonies. Why? Not to glorify the person, but to glorify God. It's very positive environment we should be in. In verse 8, we hear and we read, the gospel message of salvation, that's also truth. Obey His commandment to love one another. And this is all gospel truth. The truth. The truth also, in another place, that we shall receive rewards 100 times in this life. Dear friends, when you do the will of God, even simple acts like giving a cup of water to the needy, to pay attention, to help somebody, you know what? The cup says you will receive 100 times in return in this life. 100 times. Wow, 100 times. Very profitable, huh? Yeah. And you will receive everlasting eternal life in future. And we ought to learn today from this man that is in John's sight an encourager. Verse 9 and 10, that I read myself. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. I hope nothing like this happens in this place. You know, this man, there are three men in this epistle John wrote about. This is the second man. This man could be very knowledgeable about scripture. Okay? You have people like that, some churches. Could be very eloquent, but very controlling. He's maybe very strong in organization. Okay? He knows how the church can be run or should run in his mind. You know, according to Warren Wisby, pride and the self-glorification are the devil's two main weapons. Pride and the self-glorification. So check on the humility as the yardstick for the church leadership. Check on that. The humility. And I, not long ago, shared the story in CC Chinese Church in California about the story how our pastor Dan Hui Yan's humility and the love towards his unbelieving sibling resulted in a breakthrough of broken relationship over 20 years or more. That's a very touching story. All the theology didn't work, right? He's a bona fide, qualified pastor. He knows the Bible, maybe backwards. That wouldn't do. It's through his humility and love, unending love, love broke the wall. Verse 11 and 12. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him. And you know that our testimony is true. We see the words here is like a triangulation. Okay, they verify each other. They support each other with evidence, with testimony. See, it's important, as I mentioned early on. I think, again, I'm not trying to be critical, but relatively speaking, I think Asian people are more reserved. It's a good virtue. But here, we are taught to speak up. We are told to be not to be silent. Instead, we should speak about godly character when we see one. We should speak up about moral courage and the personal integrity that we see good deeds in the God's assembly. And a not seen by God here suggests clearly that those people who practice sin were not saved in the first place. So don't use the term, he lost his salvation. Calvary Chapel does not hold on to that. So those people continue in sin were not saved in the first place. And I'm suggesting, as I'm speaking here, you may have some worries or concerns. Say, I have this problem over the years, this nagging thought. I have this bad habit. I don't know what to do about it. Am I saved? I have this particular weakness. I have these bad hidden secrets in the past, and I don't know God has forgiven me, whether I can go to heaven one day with this. Yes, I have to say this to you. This was in my dream last night. This part is important. Yes, sin has great power. Sin has great power. It latches on you. It is in your blood, in your soul, and you don't know what to do about it. And you are worried every now and then. But I want to tell you simple answers. You just confess to God. Say, God, I know this is sin. I know this is not right. But I have no power of it, but you have. You have great power. There's no sin that God cannot forgive. Only if you come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. You say to God, in humility, humbleness, in honesty, say, God, I have this problem. It could be anything like pride or prejudice or whatever, or hatred for someone. You may have a good reason to hate somebody, but you know it's not right. And it's been there a long time. And the hatred or the problem holds on to you. You have no power to break loose. You know what? You can go to God and ask Him to forgive you. The blood of Lord Jesus Christ will wash you clean. Hold on to that promise, and God will remove that. It is true. Let me say this. There are scriptures to tell us God has taken us. Now, you have heard of this term. We are in the world, right? And what's the next? We are not of the world, right? You know why we are not of this world? We didn't actually walk away from the world. The scripture says God has taken us out of this world. But the scripture didn't stay short there. When God takes us out of the world, the devil come after us, keep on reminding us, hey, you remember this stupid thing you did many years ago is still with you. The devil come to accuse you. The accuser comes after you. The scripture goes beyond that. When God takes out of the world, and he who is he? The mighty one. He protects us from the devil. That's so important. We need to be reminded by the truth from the Bible. God not only takes us out of the world, and He protects us. So when we are confronted with accusation, the ugly reminders from the devil, we use the word God to tell him, hey, listen, I have been protected, I have been saved, and you have no part in me. God has forgiven me on that cross of Jesus Christ forever. You have no claim over me, only through the use of word of God, and we can break loose from the accusation and the dark memories of the past, which can be many, but we are set free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 13 and 14. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. It says so clearly, as much as John wants to see the saints, God desires to see us and me in person one day, as much as we want to see God's face. God look at you in a special way. God has made you a special person, a unique person. God has a special task for each one of us, only we can do. If you don't do it, no one else can do that part of your job. Don't underestimate yourself. You are very important in God's eyes. You are special in God's eyes. I think the most precious commodity on earth, I don't know about you, to me, is peace. And here we see peace in the concluding part of the letter. And God has given that peace to us. You know, there are one third of people in the civilized world, because research is done in Japan, Europe, North America, one third, and the number is growing, people who suffer from depression. Right? Why? We are more educated, we have all the technologies available, right? Society become more gender, more kind. I mean, the recent Singapore 2016 budget, I read headline, you know, we should be more what? Understanding, more tolerant, you know, try to help others. It's a headline. The finance minister presented the budget in the parliament. But yet, the growing number of depression is true. What's happening worldwide? The devil has come big time to take away the peace. We got to hold on the promise of God, the peace that we have. Why? You know why? Because our Savior, his title, one of the titles, is what? He's the Prince of Peace. So if we have the Prince of Peace in our heart, we have to remind ourselves, when the attack from the devil comes, we see the liar go away. The Prince of Peace is a permanent resident in my heart. You've got to remind yourself of that. If not, the deceiver will come to deceive you. What is the meaning of deceiving? To lie to you. And you can be lied to. So let's hold on to the peace, because Jesus Christ dwells in us permanently. He doesn't check out tomorrow because you are in a bad mood. He should be in you, always with you, forever, until we see God face to face. And we can certainly learn from the third person. And he is our fine example. I want to read another verse from Proverbs 22 to support this part. We can actually read together. It's a beautiful verse. A good name is chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now this is in the NIV version. Okay? The NIV is around not more than 50 years. And I read the Chinese version. Chinese version was translated 200 years ago, by Morrison, Dr. Robert Morrison. By the way, he about 180 years ago, they started by the Charter of Raffles, the Singapore Bible Society. Rob Morrison, I went to buy Bibles to give away, and I found out this part of interesting history. The one who started the Bible Society of Singapore about 200, just under 200 years ago, by this man, Dr. Robert Morrison, who translated the first Chinese Bible. Now, he, of course, at that time used the King James Version, you know, which is about 400 years old. So the Chinese version carries the language with different age. It has the weight, the rigidity and authority of the King James Version. So I compare the two versions. Each one will give me different understanding, and I'm happy and bless the Lord that I'm bilingual. And this is simple to understand because modern language. I don't want to use the word washed down, but in the relatively speaking, compared to the King James Version in Chinese, when I read both versions, it carries more weight. You know, God gave us a choice here by choosing. Now, we have a lot of young, enterprising, uprising young people who are seeking careers, education. God gave us a choice. We can choose to seek fame and fortune and riches by our efforts, by our means, by our relationship, by our upbringing. We want success like I was once. But you know, the good advice from the wisest man ever lived, King Solomon. He says, when we go to God in humility and with fear, and God will give us His portion of riches and honor and life. And my wife gave me a very good line, which I like very much. If you read the gospel stories, people go to Jesus not for riches. People go to Jesus for life. For eternal life, for physical life in healing. But the world's people are different. If you go to China, you go to these big temples, people go there to do what? To seek fortune. In Singapore too, any society, they want to strike lotteries, become rich, rich and famous, seeking the gods of this world. But here, the wisest man told us, we seek after God, and He will give you His portion, riches, honor, and life. And God would never shortchange us. We can trust that one. And I mentioned many versions just now, Chinese version, King James Version, NIV Version, all that. But I find recently another interesting version. See whether you have heard this before. Okay? So open up your ears because I'm going to end soon. Put on love, which is the sweetest. Walk in love gingerly. Speak the truth in love. Do good in love. And the kind deeds. Singaporeans, what version is this? You don't know? This is a Singapore version. You don't know? I just learned this last week. Anybody knows this version? Well, next time when you go to Yakun, this is the gospel according to Yakun. It's on the wall in those coffee shops. And I was drinking coffee one day, I read that, I said, oh my gosh. It's the very topic I was going to talk about, you know? Let's pray. Lord, in Isaiah chapter 11:2, you said, the Spirit of the Lord rests on Jesus, And today, Lord, we are in the age of grace. We expect to receive the same Spirit, the Spirit of counsel, might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the delight in the fear of the Lord. Lord, we can therefore confidently walk in truth and love. Hold the truth in love as we are taught today. Because the great I Am has forgiven all our sins, and we can see you face to face. Let us experience that day by day, every day, that we can see you face to face. And you can talk to us as we talk to you. You have given us the privilege through the death and the resurrection of your Son and our Savior. Lord, we love you. We love the truth you have given us. And we want to love one another and give us opportunities and open our ears to hear your voice. Give us the understanding in our mind and plant your words deep in our soul. And we desire the Spirit of God to work mightily in our assembly so Jesus Christ can be glorified. And as a result, we individually and collectively as Calvary Chapel Singapore can bear much fruits in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.